Redhu Experience.
Hi. Welcome to another episode of the Naina Redhu Experience. I had started a new series the last time called Influencer Marketing for Brands. This is in continuation of that. I had intended to do part two today, but I have had some questions after I did part one, and I'm going to answer those questions first. So the last time I had spoken about things like what things to consider before you even get to working with an influencer. So as a brand, what are the things you should consider? And I had spoken about a couple of points under that, one of which was branding and branding design and logos, etc. The question I have gotten, I think I got that question before I recorded that episode, so I have kind of answered that question. But the question I got was, how important is packaging design for a brand, obviously, that has products, before getting into influencer marketing? So that is kind of answered in the first part that I did. And I would say that it is important, but it is obviously not as important as the quality of the product or the service. But it is important, especially because if you see that a lot of influencers, whenever they receive a product, they post about it on social media, so they'll take a photograph. Now, if you have good packaging, they are more likely to post that photograph, especially helpful in the case of gifting. So when you're sending a gift to an influencer for the first time after you've introduced yourself to them online and on email, etc., and they have said that, yes, that you can send them something. If it is packaged well and you send some extra marketing material, I'll give you an example. I worked with a perfume brand recently, and I specifically asked them to send me extra marketing material or any extra packaging that they have. And they sent me a set of postcards. They sent me a marketing brochure which had photographs of their products that had been photographed really beautifully. And of course, the specific marketing material around that product. And of course, I photographed it, and when I put it on the blog, etc., it had pictures of that marketing material. So that helps because it looks pretty. And when I put photographs on Instagram, or when any influencer puts photographs on Instagram, they want those photos to look good, because good looking photos tend to get more likes. So that's good for the influencer's popularity in that sense. And it also helps the brand because it goes further. So if the post is popular, it will travel further. More people will see it. It works both ways. Packaging is important. You don't have to look at it just from the influencer's point of view, or if you are doing influencer marketing. You also need to consider it from the point of view of your customer. Like, is packaging important to your customer? And it is, isn't it? The likelihood of a customer posting a picture, if they are on social media, is higher if the packaging is nice. Everyone wants to show off that, oh, I bought stuff from this brand and it looks so good. So it makes sense to have good packaging. Again, if you're on a tight budget, I get it. You probably don't have good packaging, and I don't know what to tell you there, because packaging, printing, even just the designing of the brand itself takes time and money investment, for example. But I would suggest that you have your branding in place, which includes packaging design. And then you reach out to an influencer, because then it has a multiplier effect. It's not as simple as just sending them a product and suddenly the influencer is like, oh, I got this free product, so let me post about it online. It doesn't usually work like that. The more popular the influencer, the lower the chances of them posting a photo or even an Insta story about a freebie that they got. Especially if the product is of low value. If it's a high value product, if it's a luxury bag that you're sending someone, no one really cares about the packaging. They're just, I would like to show off that, oh, this brand sent me this expensive bag, So there, yeah, you can get away with shitty packaging. But of course, they already have budgets for good packaging and good marketing material. So they have that sorted. For smaller brands, I think if it's especially a product of a smaller value, then it makes sense to have nice packaging. But it has to have good branding for sure from... You need to have that down. You need to fix that before you reach out to an influencer, because otherwise it's a wasted opportunity. You're not getting the full potential of using that influencer. The more marketing material you send, especially good looking stuff, it's nicer. They'll, lay it out properly with the products, take a top shot. It's called a flat lay. So the chances of it being featured are much higher. So yes, the answer in short is yes, packaging is important. But if you are, if it's a shitty product and your customers are, you're not getting a lot of sales because the customer feedback hasn't been good, and even if it is good packaging and someone and the influencer decides to post about it on social media, eventually people are going to buy the product, and if they don't like it, then it's not going to help you. So yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer. The product quality needs to be great. Okay, so that was one question. Some other questions I got were, how many influencers should a brand work with? Let me flip that around. How many hoardings should a brand purchase to put up their ads on? So you look, there's a lot of backstory that you need to fill in there before you get to that question. There's no limit there. It could be, you could start with one, you could start with five. It depends on what kind of product you have. What kind of influencers are you able to find? I recently, a beauty brand, kind of skincare brand, they sent me products recently, and it was their full-size products in a beautifully packaged box, etc. And I don't think they're currently working with many influencers. So it's a way for them to test the waters. And honestly, the sky is the limit. It's like, on how many newspapers or publications should I put my ad in? I don't know. There's no like limit per se, right? If you have a lot of money to do that, do it. Send it to like all publications. And it's not just about working with an influencer or a publication that is very specific to your kind of audience. You could be working with a generalist, or you could be working with a specialist. I think there are advantages to both, because with the generalist, you will reach out to an audience that probably doesn't follow that influencer just for a particular subject. And with a specialist, you will reach out to the exact target audience that your brand might find customers in. So there is no answer to that, really. You could start with one, start with gifting and see how it goes, and then hone in on some people that you thought were relevant or you got more clicks working with, for example. You can track that. The other question I got was, how many features should a brand pursue, or how many features with an influencer should be done so that the brand sinks in? Again, there is no right number to this. You could, if it's a good product, I think you can do influencer features sporadically. You'll have to gauge. You'll have to play it by ear and see how it goes. There's no fixed number to this. You could work with one influencer and do stories with them every quarter. So, you know, maybe you could do one blog post in 3 months and a 3 month campaign where the social media is going out over those 3 months, with one update every week, for example. You could work with the influencers where you don't do a blog post, you do only social media updates. But there is no fixed format here. Generally, what brands do is that when they have a feature, a product launch, for example, or you know, a new person is joining their team and they want to announce it, etc., then you can do a little more volume where you reach out to, you know, 20 influencers and say, hey, we want you to talk about this. This is our budget, and these are the number of social media updates we expect from you, etc. I don't recommend doing too many updates at the same time. One, because you won't be able to measure from where you're actually getting the results, which influencer has shared stuff and then people are coming. But you can do that if you're using a blog on Instagram, for example. There's no way to track URLs unless you have a, you know, business relationship with Instagram, in which case, good luck and tell me how you did it. There aren't many, there seems to be no one in India who seems to know how Instagram works unless you're really influential. So there's no, again, when we come to the part where we talk about how we measure all these results, there really isn't much right now, unless you're specifically using or working with someone who has a blog. If it's only an Instagrammer, then it's really hard to track clicks and know where, you know, which influencer is sending you traffic, for example. If you're working with five at the same time, then you can't really tell. The only way then you can tell is that you decide with the influencer that, okay, this is the time we want you to post. And in which case, then you know that, acha, this person has posted at this time and this is when I'm getting traffic, for example. But there is no limit on the number of features. There is no minimum. If you do too much, then you might cause some fatigue. I generally recommend to the clients that I work with that I can do one update every 5 days. Maybe one even every 7 days. So every week there is one reminder, you know, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, etc., that, okay, this is what we had done, etc. So you can do that. I think that works because it doesn't look like you're trying to shill the product too much. There has to be disclosure that this is a client or this is someone you worked with or it's a brand partner. I'm not talking about that. But if I post an update every day, it gets a little irritating. Even I, if I follow someone and I see that they're talking about the same brand every day for 30 days, that's too much. I don't recommend that. As a user yourself, which is why in the first part I said that you yourself should have personal accounts on social media to know what it looks like and what how it works. If you yourself follow a brand or an influencer online, you see what works for you as a consumer. What are you more likely to check out based on the influencer's updates, etc. Again, this is a very feel, what feels good, trial and error kind of thing, and you play by ear and see how this works. Again, at one time, how many influencers? Depends on your brand. If you have a good relationship with one influencer, work with one influencer. If you're able to build good relationships with 5 to 10 influencers over a period of time, maybe do dedicated posts with those 5, 10 influencers and then keep trying new ones and then see how it evolves. There's no limit. Like, how many magazines should I put it in? How many ads should I do? It's similar to that. See how much budget do you have? I think the biggest limiter or definer is going to be your budget. You have to, because you will have to spend money in doing the whole branding thing first and then getting to a point and paying the influencer, for example. So you'll have, the budget will kind of help you decide that also. Someone also asked me that cosmetics. How do I work with influencers, especially with cosmetics? Because there seems to be a reluctance to try new products. Well, obviously, if I'm going to put it on my skin, I need to know the brand. And you can't just write to an influencer or send them a box of products. In the early days, sure, it used to be cool. A lot of people would be like, oh, new product, try. But no, not anymore, because people have had bad experiences. There is a lot of terrible product quality going around in the market. So there's no way for me to know who this person is. Why have they sent me something? I'm more likely to just give it away or even throw it. The amount of stuff that I take out in cardboard boxes every month outside my door for anyone to just pick up and take is just, I've lost track now. Because it is true. It's a new cosmetic product I've never heard about. I don't know you. I've never heard anyone else talk about it. So maybe what you can do is you can first set up a relationship. You have to have a relationship. Maybe have a meeting with an influencer. Again, it requires investment, whether time or money. So it's not as simple as saying, oh, cosmetics, nobody wants to try it. That's not true. Of course, reputable brands are easier to, just put on my face because I know everyone talks about them. I know that this is genuine, etc. And I can also go and read reviews that other people have done or other influencers or bloggers have spoken about the product. So I can always go and check that. That is the reason I put it on my face. But if you're a no-name brand, I've never heard of you, yes, the likelihood of me using cosmetics from your brand is very, very low. But it's not impossible. Again, set up a relationship, talk to them, maybe do a story internally on how the products are manufactured, put that on your blog. And when you reach out to the influencer, you first show them that look, this is how we make it. The ingredients are natural. There are no allergens, things like that. And maybe that would be one way to establish a relationship and establish credibility, because that is important. A lot of the more popular influencers will be very particular about the kind of brands they work with. They won't just accept money regardless of how much you pay them if they believe that the product is not good quality. Because can you imagine, if they recommend a product to their audience and tomorrow 10 people from the audience say that, hey, it burned my skin or it gave me acne or whatever, then that influencer's credibility is shot to shit. You're just one brand, but this influencer works with hundreds of brands and suddenly their credibility will be questioned. So yeah, you have to establish a relationship. Obviously, your product has to be good. And you can do it. It's not impossible. It's probably a little harder than, for example, maybe someone sending someone shoes. Because the shoe is not immediately going to harm me. And if I wear a shoe of a bad quality over a long period of time, that's when I might be like, oh, maybe it gave me a permanently pulled muscle or something like that. So yeah, it's hard, but it's not impossible. So you can do it. Okay, so those were the questions I got after influencer marketing for brands part one. Part two is where I wanted to talk about the same part where things to consider that brands should look at before they even get to the influencer. Today I wanted to talk about the campaign goal. So once you've decided that you have branding and you have packaging and you've done your logos and everything, etc., you have to think of what is the campaign here? Why are you even reaching out to the influencer? What is the goal here of the campaign? So, for example, like I said, you might have a new product You might have a new service that your brand is launching. You might have a new person on the team. You might have, there might have been an international regulation passed, which now allows you to do something that, you know, your brand wasn't able to do earlier, for example. So, or, you know, a new regulation that talks about compliance, which your brand already complies with, but it's an international regulation that has come up that has gotten a lot of press and you want to advertise that, for example. So what is the goal of the campaign? Do you want to talk about a new product that you've launched? Do you want to talk about a new service that you have added to your brand's deliverables? Is there a new team member on the team that you would like to talk about or you would want people to know about, for example? So you have to clearly define that, you know, this is the new product that's come out, or if it's an old product that you're reviving, or it's you know, that used to be popular earlier and you want to get it back and you want more people to know about it. In general, the goal of any brand to reach out to influencers or do influencer marketing is to create more awareness about their brand. Generally, creating awareness and doing this kind of word of mouth means that you will, more people know about you, more people are likely to recall you when they actually need your products, and more people are likely to then purchase your product. So the main goal usually is awareness, but you can have smaller goals also. So, you know, it's same when you, for example, you want to put an ad in a magazine. So what is that ad about? What are you focusing on? So you can actually tie your entire marketing campaign in a way where you have a goal, and that same goal is then applied to influencer marketing also. So if it's a new, for example, a fashion brand, easiest example is a fashion brand. They have a new collection that's coming out. Generally, it can be, you know, once every 6 months, especially if it's a good fashion brand and not somebody who's coming up with collections every month or every 3 months. So when the new collection is coming out, you can decide that, okay, we will work with two personal style bloggers, we'll work with two photo bloggers, we'll work with two travel bloggers, we'll work with maybe two lifestyle bloggers. So there's a difference between generalist and specialist. You can, I would suggest that you work with both, because they a generalist blogger will have the likelihood of them having an audience that doesn't know about your brand is going to be higher, whereas a specialist blogger will take you exactly to that audience that is relevant to your brand. So there are advantages and disadvantages in both. Then once you know that, okay, these are the bloggers we're working with, then you tell them that, look, our marketing campaign goal is this. We want to talk about this new collection that's coming out. Obviously, that will help push our sales. So you can give, you know, one outfit to one personal style blogger, another outfit to another blogger, another outfit to another blogger. Everyone should get different outfits. Ideally, let them pick which ones they want, and you decide who charges whatever, and that's how you do it. So they will talk about their new collection to their audience. Hopefully, it will be season relevant and relevant to the, you know, blogger's own style. For example, you know, here I'm wearing a shirt by this brand called Postfold. I quite like their clothes, and I am more than happy to wear stuff when they send it to me and include it in videos like this, or, you know, daily office wear, etc. So it fits with who I am. It fits with the way I anyways dress. So you, as a brand, you need to look for influencers who kind of fit with what it is that you do. Then the chances of it looking more authentic, for example, is much higher. Like, they haven't paid me, but they've sent me the shirt, and I love the shirt. So I really, you know, I'll wear it. I'll wear it to a meeting, for example. I'm wearing it here in the video, and I'm talking about the brand. So they didn't really have a campaign per se, but they had a new collection which was out on the website. And now I'm wearing their clothes and I'm talking about it. And whenever I talk about it, I tag the brand. Any good influencer will do that. Even if they're not being paid to do it, if the brand has treated them well and they have a good relationship with the brand, they will tag them. Because that's the nature of the industry right now. Even if the person who... customers tag brands these days. So that's a nice organic way of getting a lot of awareness generated online. So the campaign, for example, is okay. And now you can also work with, you know, a photographer like me, for example. If it's a fashion brand, and you can actually take me behind the scenes and see how is the product actually being made, from, you know, the fabric being made or woven, for example, if there's embroidery happening, if the fabric is being dyed, for example, what are the colors, where is that vat? So literally it's everything behind the scenes, cutting, pattern making, even the designer actually sketching the clothes. And maybe then you have a, you know, runway show. So you can actually have behind the scenes of the runway. And I've done this for a bunch of designers. I think this is a good way of using influencer marketing, because through whatever the influencer does, and assuming you are reusing the content that they're creating for you, you reach out to your customers in a way where they're like, oh, so this is how this designer works behind the scenes. How cool. That is... It stays in your head. It's not just the next time when you go and buy a dress or an ensemble from the designer. You're like, oh my God, I saw that being made. And I think that is like super cool. So that's the goal. It's awareness. It's recall that people want. People should remember you next time you're going and buying something. They should be like, "Arey, we should go and buy that one." Because we saw this cool story that they did. Sounds like a cool brand. That way you need to figure out and tweak. Okay, what is what? Do you want your customer to say, oh, that's a cool brand? Do you want your customer to say, oh, they're so authentic? Do you want them to say, oh, this is great, wonderful work that they do, etc., etc.? And you can work with a mix of influencers in this. For example, one of the gigs that, for example, I really liked was where, you know, this brand had hired a celebrity to shoot an television ad for them. And they hired me as a behind-the-scenes photographer. So the shoot went on for 2 days in Bombay. And I was there behind the scenes photographing the Bollywood star, the everybody else working on set, how things were happening, things like that. And when the blog story that I did or the social media that I did, that also included the TVC otherwise. Otherwise, I don't really show TVCs or include them on my channels or whenever I promote work for a brand, for example. Because I don't see the point, unless it's a really cool ad which I would have anyways maybe shared with my audience. I don't really look at ads so much unless they're really good and everyone's talking about it, then I'll be like, oh, curious, and I'll go and see it. But otherwise, so that behind the scenes thing, you know, people who are fans of that Bollywood star will be like, oh wow, I want to see what he or she is like behind the scenes. How are they like a regular real person and not just the ad? How is it really made? What happened over 2 days? So I had this long story that I wrote. And I had a bunch of pictures, and I even produced a book, for example. So the goal of the campaign there was to, I think, get more people to talk about it, not just from the ads point of view, but also connecting the Bollywood star to his audience on a more real kind of level. So authenticity there, I think, was what the campaign probably would have achieved. So that's not really, you're not really trying to sell anything. You're trying to tell a story. Also, obviously, it depends on the kind of budget you have. So if you're a smaller brand, you might not even have a TVC. Forget having a Bollywood star in the TVC. But there are other ways of doing it. At your own workshop, you could photograph how your artisans are creating the product. You could have, you know, your own phone photos. Yeah, you can use that. And have your own social media presence first, which is like the no-brainer, which I talked about in part one. Once you have that, then, you know, when an influencer amplifies your work and you amplify their work and they get more followers and you get more followers, for example, that's how it grows. So like any other marketing campaign, influencer marketing is also marketing, and you need to figure out what your goal of the campaign is, whether it is awareness for the product, that a new product is being launched, new collection is being launched, shoes. Fashion, I think, as a category is much easier to work on because there are so many examples and more influencers tend to lean towards the fashion side. But there are, you can do it in any category, really. I mean, I could come up, sit and brainstorm like so many ideas depending on what category or brand it is and what the goals are. But you need to know that, okay, this is why we're doing it, and then you work backwards from there. You can't reach out to 50 influencers and say, "Arey, ye to hua hi nahi." Because if you don't know what the goal is, how are you going to convey it to the influencers? So that's one of the things. And I also wanted to talk about, deliverables. What are the deliverables that you are expecting? And deliverables, very clearly, are you looking at what number of social media updates you're looking at? On what platforms? Are you looking for a blog story or a blog feature? What kind of blog feature are you looking at? Are you looking at video content? Are you only looking at photos? Are you looking at, writing? These are deliverables. Once you've decided, okay, that this is the campaign goal, for example, you know, like I said, you have a new collection. A new collection has about 20 new ensembles, okay? So you can decide that you will work with, out of those 20, you reach out to 10 influencers from various categories and you say, okay, these are our clothes, please pick one. This is maybe what our budget is. Let me know what you can do in this. Some of them will come back to you and say that, hey, in this budget, we can only do an Instagram update. Can we keep the dress? Some will say, oh, I can do a blog post in this and I will do one Instagram update and one on Twitter, etc., etc., etc. You should also internally decide that, okay, at minimum, we would like to have 4 Instagram updates, one per week for the next 1 month. And then you decide, acha, whether should we work with one blogger now, or should we work with all the 10 influencers now, or should we work with one influencer now, and then the next one next month, and the next one next month, and the next one next month. Again, if you have a collection that's going to change in the next 6 months, then ideally, yes, initially you should just, you know, work with a bunch of them, and then kind of distribute it till your new collection comes in, and then you can work with them again. I think a long-term relationship kind of helps. So if you're able to decide that, okay, we want one blog feature for every time we launch a new collection, these 5 influencers we always work with because they get us good results and we have a good relationship with them. And for those 3 months, we want one blog feature with maybe, I don't know, 30 photos. You can do one per week. So 3 months means 3, 4, 12. So you have 12 photos, okay? And then every week that influencer posts one photo on Instagram, one photo on Twitter, one photo on Facebook, and links back to their blog feature. And of course, they tag your brand in whatever updates they do. So that's a 3-month campaign that you can look at, where even if you're a small brand and your budget is only 25,000 rupees a month, for example, that you can spend on an influencer, then you can decide that, okay, these influencers work for like 10K or 15K or whatever. And then you say that, okay, over a period of 3 months, this is the kind of budget that I have, and you work with one influencer, for example, like a really popular one you want to work with. And if your budget is 25K per month, then for 3 months, you have a 75K budget. So you can say that, look, my budget is 75K, what all can you do in this? And then I think you should be able to get like one blog story with like, you know, 12 photos, and you have a 3-month campaign. So you need to think about, you know, whether you want to work with a really popular influencer, you want to work with mid-level influencers. Generally, mid-level is considered like between 20 to 50,000 followers on platforms. I don't really know. There's no definition per se. In India, especially, the market is very different compared to what it is outside. But after you've decided your, you know, you've done your branding, you have everything, your brand is on social media, you've used social media for a while, then you decide what the campaign goal is. And then you decide what are the deliverables that you are expecting from an influencer. It will also depend on where all the influencer is present online. It's not as simple as you saying, oh, I want 10 Snapchat posts and we want to work with Naina, and then Naina tells you that Naina's not on Snapchat. So you need to do that bit of research, obviously, which I have talked about. I will be talking about. There are several parts to this. You can send me questions if you're a brand and you've been wondering how to get onto this influencer marketing bandwagon, and I'm always available for one-on-one consulting as well. The third part that I'm going to be talking about next time, I'm going to be talking about content, you know, reuse, what kind of content on what platform, etc. I might also get into measurement, although there really isn't much available in terms of measurement unless you're doing it manually. And my, this influencer marketing for brands series, I think would be more applicable to smaller and medium-sized brands who have probably never ventured into influencer marketing previously and are curious and would like to see how this works. For larger brands, I don't think most of this will be relevant because you're probably anyways working with a digital agency, and I'm sure you couldn't be asked to make your own social media accounts. But yeah, I mean, I can, this again is all based on my experiences, how I have done it, the kind of work that, you know, the brands that I have worked with, their experiences that they've told me about, and some questions that you probably didn't even know you had to ask. Thank you for listening. This was the 46th episode of the Naina Redhu Experience and the second part of the new series called Influencer Marketing for Brands. Thank you for listening. Send me questions. Bye-bye.